made this podcast to be able to talk to a variety of people. Contrary to popular belief, I do not only have people on that agree with me. I prefer to have people on that have a variety of my opinion or even an opposing one. What I would like to ask you as the listener, as the viewer, is that if you find yourself attempting to write me off because I have different opinions than you, you're not contributing to a better world. You're not contributing to a more serene world. If you want to completely write me off because I have a view on this and I have a view on that, and take and kind of like objectifying me as this bad thing, maybe there's a next level of maturity that you could embrace and could step into. I talk about a lot. I talk about money. I talk about wealth. I talk about independent traveling, digital nomading. I talk about redneck life. I talk about Christian Louboutins, red bottom shoes. I talk about several industries. I talk about discipline. That's my main baby, right? So keep an open mind. Keep expanding your nervous system as I keep expanding subjects and topics and lifestyles. And let's talk. Those nations are extremely anti-self-protection to any extent. So you have a full requirement to retreat. Pepper spray is illegal. Anything that could be used as self-defense is illegal and will get you prosecuted. I've been there, done that too.
It's not me wanting to ban the AR-15. It's I want dead kids in schools, which is unbelievable. Mass shootings. I was shocked to learn that most mass shootings occur in an area or a place where people are not heavily armed or not armed at all. And it's usually due to what's called gun-free zones. It's when only Hollywood has warped people's minds into thinking that everyone is this, you know, American cowboy, a cowgirl. Earlier, gun deaths overall impact 0.02% of the population.
Hello, everyone. A little reminder, this is hashtag Team No Delusion. Nothing is edited. Nothing is polished up. Everything is raw. Everything is straight imported onto the podcast because I don't want to participate in none of that Hollywood nonsense. Everything has to look perfectly. Everything has to look fake. Everything has to look a certain way. So you'll get the robbers. Hello, 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 everyone. It's your favorite opinionated legendary Amerislav. And today at Fearless Wealth, we have a quite unique guest who is kind of shattering everyone's boxes, mental box online, because he doesn't fit in any box. And that creates a lot of anger in people, a lot of upset, and Carlton handles it like a champ because he'll just engage with everyone. So, Carlton, hi. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So, let's pretend that I don't know you. Okay. And I don't know your backstory. I haven't read your pinned tweet. I don't see your interactions. How would you describe yourself?
I would describe myself as a Second Amendment absolutist. I am also a survivor of gun-related violence. I don't like to use the term gun violence. I say gun-related violence simply to describe that, you know, it was a gun that was used to almost kill me, but, you know, that's not unique. Violence is violence. Second Amendment absolutist, I believe that, you know, anyone who is not currently incarcerated in a mental facility or correctional institution should be able to own and operate firearms. As soon as they are released from one of those two institutions, they should have their Second Amendment rights restored. Simply for the fact of if they're too dangerous to own a firearm, they're too dangerous to be out on the street with the rest of us. So if the government is asserting that they are too dangerous to be out on the street with the rest of us, why they're if they're too dangerous to own a firearm, why they're on the street with the rest of us. So I believe that when it comes down to talking Second Amendment or gun rights or anything like that, you should be able to have a calm, collective, cool, and concise conversation with the other side, with the gun control supporters. Oftentimes, I don't receive that. I don't receive people on the other side wanting to have a cool, calm, and collective conversation with me. It's more of conversations that are filled with emotions, that is filled with misleading stats, and things like that. So, that's what I pretty much do on Twitter. I've been doing it since 2013, talking with different people, building up my platform, engaging with different gun owners, trying to build up their platforms as well. So, for me, that's where it's at.
Yeah, and you caught my eye because I'm fairly new to the Second Amendment like corner of Twitter, and for and I'm sharing this ad nauseum, but it's important to know. Like I'm from East Europe, where we are pro self-defense, but we don't really have a gun culture necessarily outside of like using it on a farm or something. And later I moved to the Netherlands and Belgium and Germany and the UK, and there that those nations are extremely anti self-protection to any extent. So you have a full requirement to retreat, you pepper spray is illegal, anything that could be used as self-defense is illegal and will get you prosecuted. I've been there, done that too. And then you come in America, where people are very adamant about their protection and mostly about the reality of life, where it's like the majority of the world is okay, and then there's some bad apples that want to harm us, and it's in our favor to be aware of that and anticipate that, just like we use a car alarm or a house alarm, or we lock our house, right? It's not because we're walking around all scared and shit, but it's because we are prepared. We want to be prepared. And then you come with your hundreds of firearms. I don't know how many you have. And it's a beautiful collection, and it completely, I can literally observe, when I observe your pictures and the reaction, I can literally see the gifs and the memes of people going
I
like
think you
inward.
might have cut out.
Oh, are we good?
Yeah, we're good. You had cut out for a second.
Okay. But when I'm seeing the interaction, it's like, 'cause you defy all the media pushed rules where it's anyone who's pro-gun is a white supremacist. I have no idea how that happened. Anyone who's pro-guns has small genitals. Like I have no like these weird ideas. And you come in very calm and collected, and you're like, well, you're referencing back with questions. Like, hey, where did you get that idea? Or why would like what like And you're being met with so much hate. So tell me how you got to this place.
So, being that this issue is very emotional for a lot of anti-gunners, they tend to approach the conversation with a lot of emotions. So if it's not something that you are adhering to what they want, they approach the conversation very hostile. So if it's not me wanting to ban the AR-15, it's I want dead kids in schools, which is unbelievable. I don't want dead kids at all. Whether they're in school or not, I try to approach it with a fact. So if they approach me like that, I'm like, well, less than 400 kids, less than 400 people overall, not just children, but 400 people, that's children and adults, are killed by all rifles. So that's not just including the AR-15, but that's including your bolt action rifles, your lever action rifles, your pump action rifles. This includes all of them. When you approach them with facts, they tend to lean in with more emotions. So that's where you get the whole, well, you just have a small penis as you're compensating for something, or you want dead kids, or you don't care about anyone. See, the thing is, what I've come to learn about gun culture is that gun culture cares a great deal about society. However, we're not going to, adhere to someone's feelings, irrational feelings about something that we own. We're going to continue to own that tool, that item, that's based in history and tradition and craftsmanship. We're going to continue to own that, and we're not going to respect the feelings of someone who is behaving irrationally. Me and other members of the gun community tend to remain calm in these debates while the other side continues to react in a very irrational way. So I don't let it bother me. I don't think anybody else lets it bother them. I know this, even on our side, sometimes we can react emotionally to our rights being violated. But that's not my experience majority of the time. Majority of the time, we act in a very calm manner. And me personally, me being a black gun owner, gun culture was always built up as you said in your question, as white supremacy. And for a long time, prior to me becoming a gun owner, and prior to me being shot during my home invasion, I thought the same thing because I was built up in a very left-leaning Democrat family, and friends, and community, where it was touted that, gun culture is a good old boys club. The NRA was racist, and all of these different things, and nothing can be further from the truth. You have people from all over the world, all over the country, from different backgrounds, men, women, gay, straight, who engage in firearm ownership and the culture. We have different people from different backgrounds who are instructors, who are teaching other people how to shoot. And they do it in with welcome, well, opening arms, and then with a welcoming attitude. You have people who are going to gun shows and gun ranges, who are from different backgrounds, who are different in every way. The diversity within gun culture is something that is rarely talked about online and in traditional media. They want to make it seem like it's a good old boys club because that's easy to attack. That's easy to manipulate people with irrational feelings who may be scared off of immersing themselves in gun culture. But to those people, I'm saying just give it a try. You might like it. I know when I first got my first gun and I went shooting at the range, I was nervous because I thought I was going to be around a bunch of, Ku Klux Klan members. I go there, there's black, there's white, there's Asian, Hispanic, all different types of people from different types of background, gay, straight, men, women. I went to go shoot for the first time. I ended up loving it. I went to my first big box gun store, and I saw all of the different guns, and I'm like trying them out as far as like touching them, rocking the slides, looking into the chamber and things like that, and I fell in love with it, and that's what started me on the road of gun collecting. So yeah, I'm trying to buck all trends, but it's not just me, it's a lot of different people, yourself, a lot of different people that I know on Twitter that are bucking the trends, because you, as a person from Eastern Europe, you're not supposed to like guns. You're supposed to be on the side of gun control.
And I promise we will jump right back into the conversation and the episode. But in the meantime, I would like you to hit the like, hit the subscribe, hit the share, and mostly get involved on my socials, get involved on my Instagram, get involved in the conversation on Facebook, get on my email list. You know how much I have been, let's say it, ostracized and removed from certain spaces. So If my Facebook one day disappears, you won't know where to find me. So get on my email list on dollaracademy.com. Thank you so much. Meanwhile, snap a little picture of it, do a screenshot, share it on your Instagram, tag me. I will absolutely reshare. And any feedback and everything is possible is very welcome too. Thank you so much. Now let's go back to the episode again.
And then you have a lot of women who are not supposed to like guns. They're supposed to be side of gun control because of domestic violence and things like that. I have a friend, her name is Carrie Stone, who's a domestic violence survivor, and she's a gun instructor. I have a friend whose his name is Dexter Taylor. His case is currently moving through New York, who is being affected by gun control. But you know, we have people from different backgrounds who are part of gun control, gun culture, that's fighting gun control.
Yeah, and one thing that really is always so disingenuous to me in these in the debates online, aside from the very obvious, oh, so you like dead kids, and you know, let me think about your genitals. Like, I'm not even gonna go into that. But that one thing is really being ignored, which is the fact of how much lives are being saved due to firearms. And one of my American sisters from another mister, I call her, she experienced sexual assault, and before he, and I'm full disclosure here, right? Like, and before he fully got to penetrate her, she went for her gun and she shot him and stopped the assault, right? And there's thousands, 100,000s of stories like that. But they don't see they don't see the day of the light of the day, right? It's only being pushed. And even if you express to people, like, so how many good does guns do? They're like, oh, none. And I've even seen 2 weeks ago, I believe, there was a conversation where someone said, like, well, you know, they save lives. And the pro gun person went like, no, they don't. That doesn't happen. And there's this, yeah. So I guess where I wanted to build up to this question is, if you're willing to, obviously, if you don't feel like that at all, that's, I respect that. But how, what was the process like from being a somewhat more left-leaning, you know, guns are for white supremacy, then experiencing violence to becoming a pro-gun person? Because there's a thought process that where, you know, when your mental bubbles get busted, there's a thought process. You're constantly pushing against your beliefs, and then you're like, oh, this belief is false, right? So, like, can you elaborate some of the thought process in between?
So I was shot in 2009 during a home invasion, right? After I was rushed to the hospital and was in the hospital, had surgery, and then once I got out of the hospital and during rehab, I started doing a Google search of home invasions and how often do they happen in my area. And I was surprised to learn that we had over 2,000 burglaries, and actual home invasions was 200 just in my area. And that shocked me. So I decided to get a firearm after, you know, going through that traumatic experience. So I decided to buy a shotgun. And when I bought a shotgun, I started to do more research on the shotgun that I was going to buy. I'm a type of person that before I purchase anything, I like to do research. That research led me into research about firearms, about gun culture, about crime statistics, and things like that. The maturation from being a gun control supporter and to a Second Amendment supporter is how often these gun control laws that, you know, politicians push fail. The person that shot me was able to obtain a firearm through his girlfriend through a straw purchase. And for those who don't know what a straw purchase is basically when a person who is not legally able to own a firearm or purchase a firearm uses someone who is legally able to purchase a firearm for them. So they'll go to the store, they'll pick out the gun, they'll tell the person who is doing the background check which gun that they want. That person goes in, buys the gun, and then illegally transfers it to the prohibited party. So I started doing research about that. Then I started doing, I came across this little Supreme Court case called Gonzalez versus Castle Rock. And in that Supreme Court case, the Supreme Court ruled that police do not have to offer police services to an individual. So any person who calls 911 is not guaranteed that the police is going to show up. I was shocked to learn that. That was something that I didn't know. When it came to things like mass shootings, I was shocked to learn that most mass shootings occur in an area or a place where people are not heavily armed or not armed at all, and it's usually due to what's called gun-free zones. It's when a business or institution disallows the general public to carry a firearm on those grounds.
Hey, can we pause on that for a tiny second? Like
Yeah, we
I
can.
need to and I have a lot of left-leaning anti-gun people following due to having done the world traveling. There is never a mass shooting or an invasion at, I don't know, a motorbike club. There's never an invasion at places where there are guns for sure. It's always at places where there are no guns because they're prohibited.
Exactly. And in my research, researching that and just researching how much the gun control argument is for gun control is manipulated. They play on emotions. The name of the game is emotions. Moms Demand Action, a well-known anti-gun group, got started based off of Sandy Hook, and it was started because they feared that Sandy Hook style shooting could happen anywhere in America. So therefore, they wanted to ban the sale of the AR-15. That was their number one goal. Their overall goal is gun control, more stricter laws, but their primary goal is to ban the AR-15. You had other anti-gun groups like Every Town America, who was fighting for restricter gun laws, making it exceedingly harder for the average citizen to just exercise their Second Amendment rights. It was through these things of, realizing that the entire argument is not based off of any type of sound logic or data. It's only based off of manipulated stats and manipulated emotions. That led me to be more pro-gun. Because I don't want what happened to me to happen to anyone else, or what happened to the story that you was just telling earlier about the woman who stopped the sexual assault happened to anyone else. I have a wife, I have sisters, I have sister-in-law, and I want them going through that. But even if it's not personal, they're not personal to me. I don't want any woman going through a sexual assault. And I want them to be able to stop an attack. I don't want anyone from the LGBTQ community going through anything like that either. I live in the Central Florida area. I work in Orlando, and we had the Pulse nightclub shooting, which affected the LGBTQ community. And I, when that happened, I had a lot of people from that community reaching out, wanting to learn how to shoot and wanting to purchase firearms. So I feel like when it came down to it, doing all of this research, and when people actually do the research and not relying on what something is being told to them from traditional media or favorite political personalities, whether that's politicians or people who are within political media, telling them that these made up manipulated stats. I think once they get away from that and they start doing their own research and having their own mind about things, they start to see the light and see that guns are not as bad as people are trying to make them out to be.
Well, and you bring up such a like an excellent point. It's a hard thing to observe that the more left-leaning politics and the movement around it is all like, and I'm kind of dramatizing it right now, right? But all women are women of sexual assault. All men are predators. All the minorities are kind of, and I'm like, if that's your stance, then specifically you want to self-protection for these people. Because if I'm walking around there like everyone's trying to rape me, again, that's not the world, but if that's my perspective, then I specifically want to be armed.
Right, and this is why I say it's mainly a emotional argument for them. It's not grounded in any type of logic, because if I am a minority and the police are the racist law enforcement that you portray them as, and the justice system is a racist justice system, then why wouldn't I be armed? Why would you want them to enforce the gun laws that you are currently fighting for? And if they're going to enforce the gun laws, why would you think they're going to take it away, take illegal guns away from the racist civilians that they're supposed to be in agreement with? They're going to come to my neighborhoods, they're going to take it from me. And if I am a woman of sexual assault, and and there's a man who is stalking me, who wants to rape me or wants to kill me, why would you want me to rely on law enforcement, who already has established in Castle Rock versus Gonzalez that they don't have an individual right to protect you? And you relying on slow police response times. The average police response time is about 15 minutes. A lot can happen in 15 minutes if you're a woman fighting off an attacker. Again, it's not based in any type of grounded logic. It's based off emotions. They think, oh, well, if we stop them from being able to get a gun, they won't engage in that violent behavior, and the woman will have a better chance of surviving, or the minority will have a better chance of surviving, when that's not actually the case. They just move on to another tool, which is why I said in the beginning, I believe anyone who is not currently housed in a correctional facility or a mental health facility should have a firearm, because your right to self-defense don't stop. Because you made a mistake in the past.
Have you the police thing is so real. Have you heard that phone call from that woman in Oregon? I don't know. I'm still an immigrant. I don't know how to pronounce things.
No, you
Where
said it
she
right.
for she's calling because there's a stalker banging on her door, and it's a famous. There's plenty of calls, but there's a, so she calls 911. And she's like, there's a stalker on my door. It's already been reported in the past, so it's not a new situation. He's not letting me leave. He's banging my door. He's gonna get through the door. He's telling me, I don't know. And the 911 operator goes, I don't have anyone to dispatch right now. Did you ask him to leave? And it's
No,
like
I
a
didn't hear
12
that.
minute call or something. And there's this moment, and I swear I want everyone to hear it. I'll put the video or the call in the links. And there's this moment where she's kind of like, well, yeah, of course I asked him to leave, like dipshit. But she doesn't say that, that's my word. And the 911, maybe you can just like, wait. And there's this moment in her voice of the victim where you hear, I'm on my fucking own. Like no one's coming. There's this realization that the person, the authority she's calling, right, 911 cops, they are not coming. And they indeed did not come, by the way. And she indeed did get assaulted and almost died. And it's
It's horrifying to hear a 911 operator say, basically say, you're on your own. And it's a horrifying feeling to realize, come to that realization that you're on your own. I didn't get a chance to hear the 911 that 911 call myself, but I've heard others. Unfortunately, the state of Oregon is one of those states that do not recognize a person's right to self-defense. They're doing everything they can to undermine gun ownership there, a person's right to self-defense there. They're not really respectful of Second Amendment rights there. And I need everyone in that state to continue to stay in that state to fight who is pro Second Amendment to fight, not to move. Now, if you have no other choice and you need to protect yourself and your family, definitely do that. But if you are a fighter, stay in that state and fight. When it comes to firearms, when it comes to self-defense, you are your own first responder. You cannot rely on the government to protect you. They are already gone to court numerous times to assert the right not to protect you, not to have responsibility in protecting you. Government's job is to protect, cities and states and borders and things like that as a collective, not as an individual. As an individual, you're on your own. Anti-gunners like to say, well, if we can just save one life, well, if there are 10 people killed and only one life saved, I don't want to be one of those 10 people. I don't want to be one of those two people if it's just two lives that are killed. I want to be a survivor. I want to be here for my family. I want to be here for my wife. I want to be here for my community. And anti-gunners tend to only care about numbers. That's why a lot of times when we are discussing with them on Twitter, they want to throw up manipulated data from other countries. And what I mean by manipulated data is that they are used per capita numbers instead of overall numbers to, drive home the effect of gun violence. Here in America, when you're talking about population, we are a country of 300 and I believe 55 million people. And then that's not even accounting for all of the illegal immigrants that we might have in this country or immigrants from legal status. So we might be a country of more people. When we look at how many gun deaths happen each year, we're talking about 40,000. Each month, people are buying more than 2 million guns. All of last year, 2023, each month, the average was 2.2 million, 2.2 million guns purchased each month. So we have more guns in this country than people. And yet we only have gun violence impacting the population at a rate of 0.02%. But you don't hear about those type of numbers. You're going to hear about per capita numbers, 14 people killed in this state per 100,000. But they don't talk about, okay, how many people were stabbed in that state? How many people was bludgeoned to death in that state? So like, that's what I mean by manipulated stats. Is that it's just a stat to try to drive home the emotion of someone who is not doing their own research and get them over to the side.
And where it becomes really disingenuous is that, aside even from yes to the per capita, one, and two, they bring up examples like, well, Finland has, no gun death. I'm like, yeah, Finland also only has four citizens on a good Sunday, and everyone's depressed. Like, I don't think that's the comparison you should be making. They obviously never pull up like Brazil, who is actually quite a pro-gun. There's a pro-gun culture, right? Because everyone knows it's a shit show in Brazil in general. There's violence, there's cartel, everyone, right? So they don't pull up that very conveniently. And furthermore, everyone always pulls up the Australia one, right? Like where everyone's like, look at us being obedient. We gave up all our guns and then we had no gun, then we didn't have no mass shootings. And my first question is, Okay, so how many mass shootings did y'all have before that one? And they're like, not like there's been one other mass shooting 100 years ago prior to that. So I'm like, so that's not the correlation. And lastly, one of the most brutal mass shooting happened in Czech Republic, happened in Norway, right? Like the one on the island. Those are anti, like there's no gun availability like it is here. Yet clearly those things cannot be stopped. And last month or 2 months ago, we had the mass shooting in Czech Republic, which is my home country. And first it got really hyped up online, right? Everyone, oh, look, the people are going crazy. Until our president spoke and he said, these circumstances are so unfortunate. There's nothing you can actually do to stop these people. Bad people will always exist. And then it got quiet because no, that's such a realistic take on life. So no one could use that anymore, obviously, for like gun fear.
Like I said, it's one of those things that it's manipulated stats. When you look at a place like Brazil, had a anti-gun president get into office. He passed sweeping gun control across the country. Brazil saw its violent crime rate rise. It saw mass shootings rise. And then he got ousted in an election. And then they elected a more pro-gun president. And you start to see, he started to repeal some of those gun laws. And you started to see gun violence drop almost overnight. You take a place like Norway, or not Norway, but like Finland and all of these other anti-gun countries. They don't have a place for a person to go and purchase a gun. They have all of these different, they make it harder for you to get a gun. But then again, you have to look at other violent crime tools, what they're using. Like, so if they're using a knife or a blunt object, that don't get reported in those overall in the gun violence stats because it's not involving a gun. When we go and look at those stats of violent crime overall, they're pretty much on par with America. Plus, America, like I said, is a country of 355 million people. Not to mention all of the other people that is not accounted for that's living in this country. Florida, for instance, is pretty much, we pretty much have the population of some small countries in Europe that America is being compared to. Texas is bigger than all of the UK, but we're not comparing Texas and the UK to each other. We're comparing the entire United States. So again, it's manipulated stats, and that's here to drive emotions. When we talk about guns in this country or gun violence, let's just use that identifier. When we're talking about gun violence affects people at 0.02%. You're more likely to die from things like heart disease or die from things like diabetes or something like that, kidney failure, than you are from a person that is murdering you with a firearm or yourself committing suicide. You're not likely to die from things that you're not likely to die from violence in this country. If you look up rates of people who have died from heart attacks due to heart disease, they're way higher than someone being murdered with a firearm or somebody ending their life with a firearm. But we don't talk about in terms of things like that. Even unintentional deaths. Die in a car accident, you're more likely to die in a car accident than you are from a firearm. But we don't talk about things like that. So, like, my goal is always to keep when I'm on Twitter, when I'm debating, whether it's on Twitter, whether it's talking to somebody at around the water cooler at work or anything like that, if the subject of guns come up, My goal is to always keep it grounded, the conversation grounded in those facts and not those emotions. Because yes, when you see, 21st graders being killed by someone with an AR-15, that's going to invoke emotion in you. However, when we look at how often does that happen, it doesn't happen very often. How often is a kid killed walking to school by a car? That happens more often than, somebody walking into a school with an AR-15 and killing people. But when we talk about cars, and I get cars are a privilege, but when we talk about cars, anti-gunners don't want any further legislation on being able to drive a car. They're perfectly fine with the gun, with the car laws that we have now. But when it comes to guns, it's like, no, we need more and more and more and more gun laws, and to the point that we can't effectively exercise the right.
There is this new movement, to my shock. Like, I first thought it was satire, and then that Twitter corner came for me. So what's happening in the anti-gun world, where they, pick out like AR-15, which is the niche of the niche of the niche of the niche. Like, it's one of the lowest statistics. So they're now coming for trucks and wanting to ban trucks, and calling it murder machines. And
I
everyone
thought
who's driving a truck wants children dead. So it's the same actual, like, accusation as with the AR-15. And I actually went down the rabbit hole, because I'm like, again, I thought these people were satiring me. I'm like, this can't be real. Fucking commies. I'm from a communist country, by the way. I don't use the word that word lightly, not as an insult. I mean it when I refer to people as commies. So I went down the so set commie sent me statistics of set murder machines, like motor vehicles, and it's like, 97% cars. Then it's like 2%, like, who kill people, right? Is like commercial vehicles, and then 1% is like trucks. And I'm like, you're trying to come for trucks because it's 1%. I'm like, your argument makes no sense. And it's the same thing with the AR-15. It's just marketed. Because most of the violence does not happen at the hand of AR-15.
No, it's not. And again, the people, the truck people are crazy. I saw that yesterday. My friend on Twitter, Texas Mopar, he's a big car guy. He has big trucks. So he responds to a lot of those posts, and I just happen to see it on my timeline. And I'm like, yeah, these people come from the same, I guess, mindset at the anti-gunners. I mean, they're pretty much all the same politically. It's become popular to attach yourself to a movement so you can be seen. And a lot of these people do not believe in what that movement is standing for. They are just in that movement because their friends are in that movement, or because their family are in that movement, and they want to be seen on the, I guess, right side of history. So when you see anti-gunners do it, a lot of them don't even know what the hell they're talking about. They'll repeat a stat and say things like that. I'm sorry, my dog is licking. They'll repeat a stat that's completely false, and they're trying to present it as it being fat. Excuse me.
No worries.
So they'll try to repeat it as a fact, and which we all know it's not. And when it's debunked, they run away, they hide, they block you, they shut down the conversation and things like that. They're not trying to have a constructive conversation and trying to have their worldview challenged. What they're trying to do is trying to be right, instead of, coming to an understanding. When it comes to both issues, car issue, the gun issue, there needs to be a conversation around it, in particular to violence. Me and an anti-gunner don't disagree when it comes to having the desire to stop or reduce violence. We disagree with their approach. Their approach is to ban the tool. My approach is to understand the behavior that leads to violence. Why is a person having impulse control problems where, they may see a woman, an attractive woman, and have a desire to want to have sex with her, but most people do not go as far as forcing sex upon her, raping her. Most people, what they do is they either, try to talk to this woman and go out on a few dates, and what naturally happens, or the woman rejects them and they move on. What makes a man want to rape a woman? And that's a question, or sexually assault a woman. That's a question that we need to try to understand and teach our young men and young women, because women are not immune to causing sexual assault. Teaching them, or trying to understand them, why are they having trouble controlling their impulses? Now, I'm not saying that every person wants to rape someone and they have good impulse control on that, because that's not what I'm
That's
saying
not,
here.
it's not a general desire to
No,
want
it's
to
not.
harm people, wanting to harm people, wanting to overpower, wanting to humiliate them is not a natural desire. It's not a common desire.
No, it's not. And when it comes to violence, in general, what is causing people to want to commit violence? And I feel like even if you ban the tool, if you ban guns, well, people are just going to move on to the next tool. Those same violent people are going to move on to the next tool that gets them the desired power that they want. So, I believe in targeting that behavior through mental health services, building up our mental health facilities again, and passing laws or using tax money from the sales of guns, sales tax, and ammunition from the sales of firearms, instead of it going towards a gun control cause where you're looking to ban these firearms, it goes towards mental health facilities to help those who are in need of psychological evaluations and things like that, in our public, not to purchase a firearm, just in general, and helping people with affordable mental health care. We don't see any anti-gun politicians or anti-gun organizations advocating for that. What we see is that they're advocating for this money that it's being generated from the sale of firearms and ammunition and accessories to go towards, gun control laws that's their pet project to ban these firearms. I'm advocating for, mental health to be taken more seriously in this country. I'm advocating for therapy to be a thing that, not just gun owners, but regular people who are not gun owners, to strive for. Everybody goes through something. I know after I got shot, I went through therapy. I still go through therapy daily, not daily, but weekly. And I do that because of the fact that there's a lot of things that, the mind deals with on a daily basis. And being able to understand yourself and your emotions and being able to navigate that is very important. I'm a person that preaches conflict resolution, de-escalation. That's very important when it comes to owning the firearm and understanding that. And I think a lot of gun owners, the minute they start to carry a firearm or bring a firearm into their home, they practice that. Unfortunately, a lot of people on the anti-gun side, because they don't have this awesome responsibility of carrying a firearm, they tend to wear their emotions on their sleeve and they escalate stuff. I've seen in debates with myself and other gun owners where we're debating someone who's of on the gun control side, where it escalates instead of de-escalates. Like the anti-gun person is escalating, saying very choice, politically charged and emotionally charged words at the pro-gunner, and the pro-gunner is just like, okay, what's wrong with you? Or they'll say a joke or something like that, which really enrages them. So, I wouldn't trust those people with a gun, but at the same time, it's still their right.
Right, and I can totally understand if you are surrounded by emotional people, which again happens to be right in the anti-gun space. If your only representation of people around you are emotional people who are constantly like losing their shit, I can see how, because that becomes a reflection of your world, right? So the idea for me is then, well, you associate with people not being able to hold their emotions, as you evidently don't do yourself too. So of course you don't want guns. But the majority of the world is regulated people, are kind people, not by some force or because they have to, because that's in the culture, that's in the nature. These people are not, and these instances, these extreme instances that you hear where someone has road rage and pulls out a gun, those are so rare. And pro-gun people don't like those either. We're all like, do not do that. Calm the fuck down. Whatever's going on, we can help. I can help. Let's get, but do, like, we are very anti stuff like that too. It's not that the pro-gun people are being depicted kind of like, we're these like arrogant cowboys, modern cowboys, and being like, if you just say something I don't like, I'll just flash my gun. And I'm like, that's like, don't do that. No one does that. Don't do that. A gun society is a polite society.
There's a disconnect when it comes to how the rest of the world sees us and how even some anti-gunners in our own country sees us because of they haven't been a part of gun culture. What they know from gun culture is through Hollywood media.
Yes.
They watch a movie that's popular around the world, and it's an action movie, and the action star, the protagonist, is flashing his gun and letting everybody know he's a badass, and if you mess with him or mess with his loved one, he's gonna go after you with his gun. In actuality, gun culture is nothing like that. It's nothing like Hollywood. Hollywood lies to you about every single thing when it comes to not just gun culture, but American culture in general. We're not gun culture pertaining to gun culture. Most people, if there is a situation where it seems like the situation is escalating to a violent end, most gun owners are going to walk away. Most gun owners are going to avoid that situation because neither one of us want to be caught up in litigation, in the courts, fighting for our freedom because we had to make the decision to end someone's life in self-defense. Most gun owners do not want that type of conflict. We want to be able to retreat in a safe manner if it's given, if the opportunity is given to us. Unfortunately, Hollywood has warped people's minds into thinking that everyone is this, American cowboy, a cowgirl with a firearm, and we carry our firearms looking to be the next Rambo or John Wick and stop, an assailant from doing something. Or if there's a mass shooting, we're running into harm's way to stop the mass shooter. And like me and my wife have a plan. If there's a way for if a mass shooting was to break out in the facility where we are at, and we have a way to get out safely, we're going to get out safely first. We're not running to save everyone. Everyone in that building has the same right that we do to carry a firearm. If they choose not to, they accepted their own fate. We're not here to play hero. Now, if there's a situation where we're face to face with the shooter, and the shooter is about to kill us or someone innocent, of course we're going to like pull out our firearm, but we're not going to go looking for the shooter. There was actually a case out in I think it was Texas or Arizona where this couple had killed a police officer, like two police officers in a diner. They ran over to a Walmart, I guess to escape. And this guy, who was a concealed carry holder, stopped the male shooter, but the female shooter came up behind him and killed him. So it's one of those things of that situation is an example of why you don't want to do that. Also, the police don't know who's the bad guy and who's the good guy in that situation. So you could be shot and killed by police mistaking you as the bad guy. And that was a situation that happened where a mass shooting had just took place and a guy former military was shot and killed by police because he actually stopped the shooter. He actually shot and killed the shooter, but he wasn't then shot and killed by police because police did not know that he was the good guy. They couldn't tell him from the good guy or the bad guy. So it's just one of those things of like, if you are ever in that situation, it's best to just try to get away and leave. Your firearm is there to protect you, not the entire building, or that's the police. That's the police responding to that situation's job, you know, if they can get there in time. For me, like I'm going to try to get to safety, but just to speak to end there is yeah, it's just Hollywood warping people's mind about American gun culture. That is far from the truth. I laugh at some of the things that Hollywood puts in as far as gun culture is concerned, because it's not like that.
And like I know you know me like fairly new. I used to be a professional biker, like motorcycle. And one of the things that used to annoy me back in the day is that Hollywood will put like a two-stroke sound in, but have like a four-cylinder. And I'm like, those don't match. But that happens in gun, like in gun too. Like it's, I'm like that sound. It's not the gun that they're shooting or displaying. And to your point. First of all, that's my personal recommendation. I recommend everyone to take a CCW class, even if your state doesn't require it, because you'll be shown like first of all, it's a very healthy and nice environment to be around. And you'll learn things about the laws, about theory, about situational awareness that you weren't aware of. And I absolutely attribute a new level of maturity within myself once I became American and once I became a gun person. And I went to CCW class and I had this huge like 7'11", I say. I don't know how, like a tall guy. I don't know American measurement yet. Gun attorney, and he's sharing his story where him and his wife, they went to a like a barbecue, a party, and someone wanted to hit on his wife, and his wife said no, and and the guy got kind of annoyed with the gun lawyer, and he's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like, let me just buy you a drink. And instead of like de-escalating, 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 and they ended up being friends, right? But the point being is that. So I have four stab wounds. So I come from a, criminal upbringing, where violence absolutely was a norm. And I had to ask myself, like, if I'm going to be a carrier of this tool, then I need to conduct myself even more a certain way. 'Cause I'm a very nice person. I'm a kind person. I used to have an edge on me 100%, but I had to make that conscious, like, I cannot walk around with any edge if I'm gonna wear this tool on me. And I absolutely attribute that to like, to gun culture, where they were like, no, this is how we conduct ourselves. This is how we expect you to behave. And there's this which what's the town called in Georgia where they all mandated everyone to have a gun and like
Kennesaw,
prohibited it?
Kennesaw, Georgia.
Right. And so for the listeners who don't know, there's been an experiment, by lack of better wording, where in this town, everyone had to have a gun, and criminal numbers dropped to basically non-existent. And so the argument that less guns will help the world somehow are false.
Yeah, the whole idea that less guns means less violence, it has no grounded logic to it. We are a country that has an estimate, and I'm only saying estimate because it's likely more, estimate of 400 million guns. And again, I said earlier that we have gun deaths annually is for 40,000. So if there was actually truth to the idea that more guns means more death, we would have a significant amount of gun deaths in this country that, that would be cause for concern, but we don't. As I said earlier, gun deaths overall impact 0.02% of the population. When it comes down to, yes, when you have a firearm on your hip, when you're carrying a firearm in your purse or however you carry it, you have a responsibility. And that responsibility is not just to yourself, but it is to the public. You cannot be acting in a very hostile manner to the general public because you have a firearm and you're thinking that you're big and bad and things like that. Those people, as you correctly said earlier, gun owners, the average gun owner cannot stand. I call those people I forgot the term that I call them, but they're just straight up ignorant. They do not represent gun culture. They represent a outside entity that is outside subculture, rather, better word, outside subculture that tries to attach itself to the attach itself to gun culture. These people are buying guns because of their friends, or because of a video game, or because of a movie. And they've been influenced by their friends, that movie, that video game, to do stupid shit because they have a gun. But most people who immerse themselves into gun culture understand what it means to carry that firearm, understand the power that they have now. They do not engage in that type of behavior. The behavior that they engage in is more peaceful. They are a warrior sitting in a garden after war. Those who have seen violence do not engage in violence. Those who have seen war do not engage in war, because they understand how horrific it is. Those who have never seen these things tend to want to crave these things because they have no idea of what it's like. So when I look at those type of people, I tell them the same thing. Take a CCW class because they'll teach you about the laws. They teach you about how to de-escalate things, and they'll teach you how to properly carry your firearm, where you're not putting it out there to entice someone to steal it from you. So for me, gun culture, that's one of my goals on Twitter is to protect gun culture. And sometimes you have to protect gun culture from that subculture itself. And you have to make sure that we are calling out people like that, shaming them, because the anti-gunners are not going to see a difference. They're going to lump those people, that subculture, with our culture. And, for me, I aim to dispel that.
You're the bridge. Okay, so maybe as a thought experiment, which I did once time previously too, to close off. Okay, let's say you personally, I'm no presh, but all the presh, You right now get to, say whatever you want to say to people who are extremely anti-gun, to at least, not, because again, you speak in a very like correct manner and kind manner. What could you say to them to at least perhaps plant a seed of wisdom, or at least to put them off the edge and invite them into our very welcoming gun culture? Go.
So what I would say to them is basically this, I used to be you. I used to be a supporter of gun control. I understand what it's like to be a part of a group and feel like you're on the right side of history. I understand it's hard to see people who are victims of violence, especially when it's, involving guns and things like that. I understand it all. All I ask you to do is, instead of jumping so quick to your emotions, and it's not a bad thing to have empathy. You can have empathy, but have empathy while doing the research. Instead of, trusting a source that you believe is going to be telling you the truth, like a family member who may be biased, a friend group that may be violent, that may be biased, a media source that may be biased. Take some time and look at the research. Talk to someone who is pro-gun. And I'm saying talk to someone who is rational about it, not someone who is going to yell at you for, feeling the way you do. But talk to someone who's rational, who's calm, who's cool and collective, and go to the gun range, go to a gun show, see how many different people of different backgrounds is at that gun show, who's at that gun range. Talk to a range officer, see if there's a way, or find out in your local area if there are a range that rents firearms, and shoot these firearms that these sources are telling you that is so violent. There are many gun ranges that rent the AR-15. Shoot it yourself, see how it is. Immerse yourself into the research. And once you do the research, if you still have the feelings that you have about firearms, fine. We can have that discussion. Just understand that there is an alternative approach to solving the issue of violence in our country, and that approach doesn't have to involve restricting someone else's right to own a firearm. That approach can be something that we all agree on: better mental health care, better physical care, fix dealing with issues of poverty, dealing with issues of the broken family structure, things like that, choosing better partners and things like that. So in my opinion, like, the best thing that I can tell an anti-gunner to do is keep an open mind and trust yourself and not anyone else. You know how you feel, and it can be scary at times because being a part of that group that feels like they're on the right side of history is something that we all want to be a part of, but at the same time, sometimes standing alone and saying, "Hey, this is not the right side of history." The right side of history is, a world where I can be able to protect myself and not being labeled as someone I'm not. Sometimes standing alone is on the right side of history, and I'll end it there.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, so well said. Now, before we end the episode, I am confident that you wouldn't just leave without hitting like, without hitting subscribe, without hitting that share button, right? You wouldn't do that to me. I'm up in here connecting with people, wanting you to be a part of the conversation, and you would almost leave? Come on, don't be like that. And I want to add to that myself that if you, not you, but the symbolic you, are trying to take away my right on how to protect myself, then you ought to directly provide the solution and my protection, which you can't, so therefore you cannot take away my right. But yeah,
Absolutely.
glorious.
That's an excellent point.
Glorious. Is there anything else you want to share? Say, obviously, I'll put all your links and bio and your Twitter and everywhere.
Yeah, I just want to thank you for having me. I love conversations like this. I apologize for last week. It was
All
a
good.
very, very hectic week with my mother-in-law. Again, I want to thank you for doing this. I love the fact that you offer a unique perspective, being someone who is a legal immigrant to this country, who has immersed yourself in gun culture, who is using your platform to not only talk about firearms, but talk about other issues. I thank you for using Twitter to spread the word of the Second Amendment, because Twitter is where everybody goes for their news and, just regular social media banter. I also wanted to briefly talk about my friend, Carbon Mike. He is Carbon Mike on Twitter at Future Radio. For some reason, I always get his at.
I'll put the link in.
Yeah, if you could put the link in the. He is currently fighting in New York. He is a person who discovered the hobby of building firearms, and he was building firearms. He did it legally. It was for himself. He never posted pictures of it. He never sold it. He wasn't trafficking. He wasn't doing any of that stuff. He was just an average American citizen who's living in New York, and was building his firearms in 2020, 2022, I believe it was. He was raided by a joint task force of the ATF and NYPD. He was arrested. He spent a week at Rikers Island in New York. He bonded out. He's been fighting the case ever since. He's facing 18 years in prison. His trial is currently ongoing. And what he's asking for the public is not to donate any money or anything like that. It's appreciated, but it's not something that he's asking for. He's asking for people to share his story, and that's all he needs. If you go to my page, his complete story is in my pinned tweet, so you can just click that, and you can read all about it. We host Spaces chats on Twitter with him, and he talks about his story all the time and gives trial updates. So that's the only thing I would say. It's not about me. It's not about anybody else. It's anybody that's being railroaded by the system when it comes to gun control. And these average good people like Carbon Mike is who is affected by gun control, not the, creepy, mad, dangerous criminal. It's everyday people like me and you that's affected by gun control.
Word. Well, I'll ask him if he's willing to come on next time. That would be cool. Thank you so
Yeah, I'm
much.
sure he will.
Epic. Thank you so much, everyone. Fearless Well with Carlton here. Keep hydrated because we're rich and hydrated. Keep well. Keep safe. Keep getting rich because rich is the against the system. Keep anti-government, but most of all, be healthy. Be safe. Be happy.